All right. Well, it certainly is an honor and a privilege to be up here. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 19. And we'll just start at verse 1, and we'll read on down a little bit. The Bible says, "And it was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people. For the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. And the people gat them by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son. And Joab came into the house to the king and said, Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life, and the lives of the sons, and of thy daughters, and in the lives of thy wives, and the lives of thy concubines, in that thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends. For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants, for this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived, and all we had died this day, then it had pleased thee well. Now therefore arise, go forth, and speak comfortably unto thy servants. For I swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, there will not tarry one with thee this night. And that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee from thy youth until now. Then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told unto all the people, saying, Behold, the king doth sit in the gate. And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled every man to his tent. And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, The king saved us out of the hand of our enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines. And now he is fled out of the land for Absalom. And Absalom, whom we have anointed over us, is dead in battle." I want you to catch this part. "Now, therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back?" Brother Ken, will you pray for us?
Lord, I just love you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for the church tonight, Lord. I thank you, Brother Eric, Lord, for the message, Lord God. I ask you, please, to touch his lips, Lord.
Oh, God, help me. All right, now I'm going to try to do this without being super nervous like I usually am. I get out on the street and start preaching, you're a little more comfortable. It's more territory that you're used to, but I'm trying to give you this message in a way the Lord gave it to me. And you know, usually when you preach or when you get something from the Lord, it's usually something that you're dealing with. So it's something that's on my heart and something that I hope would be an encouragement to you. I hope it won't be too rough, but if it is, it's the Word of God. My opinion doesn't count. That's the first thing I have to understand. My opinion or what I think or feel doesn't mean nothing, absolutely nothing. It's only what this word says and how God feels about it. So now the Bible says, give you a little history on what's going on here in case you're not aware of it. Absalom was David's son. David was the king, and Absalom had been in some trouble. He had killed one of his brothers over some matters and some things that happened, and he had fled from out of the presence of the king. And the king sent him out. And we're going to look at some of the aspects of Absalom. And what I'm going to try and do here is point out to you how he's a type of the covering cherub or a type of the Antichrist. Yeah. Look back at chapter 14, and we'll get to the message. I'll try to be quick. Chapter 14, let's look at verse 21. It says, "And the king said unto Joab, Behold, now I have done this thing. Go therefore, bring the young man Absalom again. And Joab fell to the ground on his face and bowed himself and thanked the king. And Joab said, Today thy servant knoweth that I have found grace in thy sight, my lord, O king, and that the king hath fulfilled the request of his servant. So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. And the king said, Let him turn to his own house, and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face." Something I want to point out to you there is that your actions and your behavior, the way you carry yourself, sometimes can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You have things going on in your life that you want to get answers, some prayers, some things, loved ones you want to see saved. But yet, the way you carry yourself is not pleasing in the eyes of God. And how do I know that? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which you are sealed with to the day of redemption. So we point out some things about Absalom. We read down, he says, "But in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he pulled his hair, for it was at every year's end that he pulled it, because the hair was heavy on him. Therefore he pulled it. He weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight." I'm not even going to get onto the hair situation or any hair jokes. I'm just going to say that if you take more time to do your hair than you do to brush your teeth, you might be wasting a little bit of time. That's just how I feel about it. But, you know, go on and do what you got to do. But What I want to say is, young people, young men, young women in here, sometimes that young man that you're looking at, that you think that he's something, he might be deceiving you. He might be good to look at on the outside. He might be pleasing to your eyes. And he might say all the things, all the right things to you that you want to hear. He might tell you how he goes to church and all the things that he does. Same thing for the women. How do you know that, brother? Well, I'm going to tell you how I know it. I was raised in church, and I'll tell you how I met my wife. We met in a stinking bowling alley of all the places. What a thing, man. We met in a bowling alley. I go in the bowling alley. I meet her. We go talking. Later on through life, we're dating. And let me first say that there wasn't no reason why my parents should ever let us date. There's not no such thing as Christian dating. You can look in this book, look in there, find it. If you can find it in there and tell me where it says that there's Christian dating, where the word date even appears in the Bible. It doesn't appear in there. That's why you know that it's wrong. It's not dating. Are you ready to get married and do it the right way? That's what the Bible way is. That's not my way, folks. That's what the Bible says. That Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's what it says. There's no getting around it. Yes, keep sinning. Keep going on the way you're going. Now, this guy, this young man, he may look good to you. And that's what I told my wife when we were dating. Brother Joe, I said, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I don't sing in the choir, but I go to church. She thought I was wonderful, Brother Ken. She thought I was something. I was a dirty, rotten, stinking, low-down rat. No good for nothing. Amen. No account. Why? I was lying to her. 10, 15, 16 years of trouble and heartache. You know when it started getting right? When I got saved. When I turned, repented, turned from the way I was thinking and went towards God. That's when things started getting right. Not my way. The Bible says that his thoughts are higher than yours. His ways are higher than your thoughts, young lady, young man. You're not going to outthink him and you're not going to get around the book. Let's look at some of these things about Absalom. Turn to Ezekiel 28. I'm going to show you how he's like, how they're alike. I'm going to try to, but we're willing. Look at Ezekiel chapter 28. Start at verse 11. Some of these comparisons between this man in the covering cherub. He said, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He was perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, just like in church. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. You realize what was this, all the emeralds and the diamonds and everything that was mentioned in there was the same covering that the high priest had in the Levitical priesthood. That was the same covering that the high priest had when he went in and make an atonement for sin, when he went and make a sacrifice before God. It looks good on the outside. He's an imitator. This man, this devil, this Absalom that's in your life, he's an imitator. He's imitating God. He's trying to impress you and do things and show you in a way that would seem glittering. And it goes both ways. Young man, it could be a woman in your life. It could be somebody that you like, that you think the Lord sent in your life. Maybe the devil sent him in there to deceive you. You know, the devil can do that. He is an imitator. He's an angel of light. Bible said, thou art the anointed cherub. Thou covereth, and I have set thee so, that thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou was walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. So some of these ways, look at some of the ways that Absalom is just like him. You know, this, the very word Absalom means father of peace. Look back in 2 Samuel. We'll go back and go to chapter 15. I'm going to do a little bit of turning. I'm trying to be quick. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses, 50 men, to run before him. Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had any controversy came to the king for judgment, that Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. See how he gets in there? See how the Lord doesn't hear what you're saying. The Lord doesn't care about you. He doesn't care one bit. I'll take care of you. That's what he's going to say. That's what that young man or young woman is going to say to you, folks, young people. That's what he's going to say to you. Say, I understand. Your mom and dad don't understand what you're going through. How you know that, Brother Eric? Because I did it. Amen. That's good preaching. I did it. You'll do it too. You keep laughing. You keep shrugging your shoulders like it's nothing. That sudden fear is going to come upon you.
Yeah.
Amen. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputer of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. Just like the Pope. Just like the Pope, folks. He's standing in the gate. He's trying to clean the place of God. You know what Absalom means? It's father of peace. That's what it means. It's some... But he's trying to come in your life and trying to deceive you to make you think that they have what you need. They don't have what you need. Everything you need is right here. It's right in this book. It's a good church. You got a good pastor. You got good people here. Good people in here trying to live for the Lord. Hey, man, if you got problems, lean on your brethren. Call on the Lord. Go to your pastor. Ask him to help you. But you got what you need right here. It's not outside these doors. It's not outside there in this world. It's not going to help you. I guarantee you. So let's see what other ways Absalom is like, he's like the covering cherub. Let's see what I got here. Absalom means father of peace, just like the Pope was kiss of peace. Look at 2 Samuel 18:18. It talks about Absalom. 18:18. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called unto this day Absalom's place. You know what 18:18 is? 18 is three sixes. You know who else went to their place? Acts 1:25 was Judas Iscariot. He went to his own place. He's a type of the devil. And I guarantee you, each and every one of you here, not just the young folks, you adults too, have an Absalom in your life. Or you may be being an Absalom in somebody else's life. Yeah. You need to get that thing right.
Amen.
You need to do some self-examination. I need to do some self-examination. Preacher says it all the time. We need to hate sin in our own life.
Amen.
That's true, brother. We need to start judging sin in our own life and getting things right with God. The king's coming back.
Right.
He's coming back.
Amen.
It's not a fairy tale, folks.
Amen.
It's not evolution. He's coming back.
Amen.
I promise you. Just hold on. He's coming. He hung on a tree, just like Judas Iscariot. Judas went and hung himself on a tree. What happened to Absalom? His hair got caught up. He was beautiful, wasn't he? With his hair, it was beautiful, right? Here he is riding his horse. Boom! Stuck on a tree. Man, what a way to go. Stuck in a tree, pulling on your hair, looking like a girl. I can't get my hair undone. I'm stuck in a tree. Come on, man. What kind of stuff is that? I'm stuck in a tree. Here he comes. I can't get out. Man, I'll take your sword, cut your hair off, man. He kept the hair all the way to the end and cost him to the death. Come on. Sometimes you just got to put some things down, man. Sometimes you let some things go and grow up and move on. Press on for the high mark of the calling of God. Go on with your life. Serve the Lord. Put them childish things away. The Bible said when I was a child, I thought as a child. Amen. That's what he did. Amen. He thought as a child. Move on. Grow up, brother. Let's go. We got work to do. There's people dying and going to hell right now while we're sitting here. One just went. One just went. Every second, somebody's dying and going to hell. You don't believe me. Go on Google. Check the statistics of how many people die every day, every second, every minute. People are dying. Where are they going? I guarantee you more of them are going to hell than they're going to heaven. You know why? Because you don't speak about bringing back the king.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Speak about bringing back the king. Amen. You know how that boy got saved Wednesday? It was nothing I did. It was nothing I could have done. It was the power of God. Because I opened up my mouth. I said, Ryan and Rose said, hey, Jesus saves. Why? Because I love the Lord. Jesus does save.
Amen.
Amen. He saves. And that young man threw his hands up like this. He's not here tonight. I wish he was here. I tried to get him. He threw his hands up like he wanted to fight. You know what I did? I had an old preacher on a blowout tape, Calvin Wilson, old Indian. He said when the man came and knocked on his door, he cussed him out. You know what the man said? The preacher said, we got a live one here. I'm going to go back. I said, hey, man, I'm going to be like that preacher. That's my example. Paul said, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. I wanted to be like that. I said, we got a live one here, brother. I'm going back. I went back, pulled up on him. I said, hey, Roman window down. I said, hey, I said, Jesus saves. He said, so, Jesus saves. I said, yeah, I'm a preacher. He said, you're a pastor. I ain't no pastor. I said, I'm a preacher. They want to give me no church. I don't think the congregation will stick around too long. But, you know, I said, I put my Bible up on the dash just so you know I want some kind of nut. I'm preaching. He said, I see all the magnets in the car. Why I got a magnet in the car? Because I love Jesus. He saves. Amen. He saved my soul. He saved my life. Amen. Speak about it. Why wouldn't you want to speak about the king coming back?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You ought to be fired up every day you wake up. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, died for you.
Amen.
What is man? What is man at God's mindful of him? Jesus Christ, I can picture in my mind. I don't know how doctrinally correct this is, but I can picture it in my mind. Jesus Christ sitting on a throne up in heaven. Seraphims and cherubims are sitting there worshiping him, and the cry comes up to him. The cry of your sin comes up before God. He says, man, what am I going to do? Jesus Christ says, I'll go. Romans 5 says, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for us. You know what that means? There was nothing in us that merited him to come down here and die for us. There wasn't nothing that he could profit from it. There was nothing he could gain from it. He gave up everything. Paul said, I would gladly be spent and spend for you. Why won't you be spent for the king? Why won't you say, well, I just can't do it. I'm busy. I'm tied up. Hey, Jesus Christ gave up heaven for you. He gave up heaven for you.
Amen.
He gave his life for you because he loved you and he died for you. Why won't you speak about bringing back the king?
Amen.
Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Eric. Amen.
Amen.
It's good. Go back to 2 Samuel. Let's go back and read about it. He's coming back. Amen. He's coming back.
Amen.
Let's read the rest of it. And Absalom, who he anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now, therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing back the king? Look at this. First thing I'll say about that is you never had to anoint the devil as your king. He already ruled over you. I guarantee you, you turn on any kind of music, and any of these little kids, these little babies that ain't never seen nothing, they'll start boogieing. They'll get down. Hey, I ain't got no cable TV. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the facts. I got no cable TV. I got no internet. All I got is a TV in the house. The kids play the PlayStation, and I got a DVD. My wife goes to the library, gets a movie. She monitors it, watches it. Sometimes some stuff slips through. You know, music comes on, and before the kids commute or get to it, my daughter's over there. She's 3 years old. How does she know that?
Amen.
You know how? Because the God of this world, principalities, rules in high places. 1 Corinthians 4:4, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's your job, brother. That's not an option. It's a job. God gave you a job to do. You need to be a light in this dark world. It's not an option. He didn't say, well, maybe if you feel like it today, or maybe however you feel, or if things are going well. I mean, come on. Come down from heaven. Come down here. Is it weighing out in your mind? It doesn't matter. Spend yourself for Jesus Christ. It's going to pay off. It's going to pay off. See how you know all that? Look at this. Ephesians 2:2. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. There's your Absalom. And he works. He's working. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You had no right. You're a stranger. You had no right. And stranger from the covenants and promises, having no hope. Hey, folks, I had no hope in this world. You understand that? You didn't have no hope in this world. You were lost and dying on your way to hell. And Jesus Christ, he could have saved everybody in the whole wide world except for you if he chose to. He'd still been just. He'd still been righteous. Amen? He's still God. He's still on the throne. He ain't going to sin in business, and he loves you. Why don't you speak about the king?
Amen.
Amen. He says, without God in this world, you know, I was sick, suffering. I was lost. I was drug addict, doped out. Grew up in a church, a good Bible-believing church. Sam Ingram was my pastor growing up as a kid. This is my pastor now. This is my preacher. I love him. He gave me opportunity. This is why I learned how to worship God and serve God. But as a child, I grew up in a church with a good preacher. Good preacher. John Garner was assistant pastor. You know what I did? Fooey on it. I don't care nothing about it. Why? You sit at home, you see things that are hypocritical. You judge your parents. Wait, kids. Wait till you get a little bit older. See how hard it is. Keep messing around with the devil. Keep giving him rule over you. See how hard it is to break that bond. See how easy it is to just live the way you want right now. Keep playing games, folks. Keep playing games. The king's coming back.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So what's going to happen? You're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to anoint the king over you? Maybe you don't want the king to come back. Maybe that's why you don't speak about him. Amen. Bible said even a child is known by his doings, whether his works be pure and whether it be right. Whose child are you?
Amen.
Whose child? Are you the devil's child? You child of this world? Or are you God's child?
Amen.
You love the Lord. You say you do in church.
Right.
How about out on the corner when you're wanting gas in your car? I'm not talking about coming out by Irish Mike's at the bar tonight. I know. It's not for everybody. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not. It's not for little kids. It's not for women. I understand. I get it. What about at the gas pump?
Yeah.
What about at work?
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
What about when you're walking down the street? What about your neighbor? Amen. Bible said the first commandment was love your neighbor as yourself. I've got a neighbor right now. Ken knows. He gave me the trail living. That guy, man, he's a real jackleg. I want to punch him in his face every day. Can't live like that no more, amen? The king. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. That's the high calling of Jesus Christ. There's no greater calling than to mention the name of Jesus. Just to mention his name. How dare you not? How dare you not speak about the king? How dare you not speak about Jesus Christ? How dare you? That's the King of Kings, man. He saved your soul. You could be burning in hell right now. You understand? Amen. You got me fired up. What are you going to do? As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. That's what we do, ain't it, folks? When we start to get backslidden, the Bible said the backslider in heart should be filled with his own ways. You start slipping, and it's easy, man. It's easy. You get out there in the wintertime, and you hit a patch of black ice. You don't even know you're sliding until it's already out of control. That car's fishtailing and going everywhere. You're saying, oh, God, help! Oh, God, help me! Don't let me wreck! There's oncoming traffic, telephone poles. That's your life. You don't even know you're sliding out of control until it's too late, Brother David. Next thing you know, you're riding along, everything's going good, it's convenient, everything's out of control. What happened? You backslid, you hit that patch of ice, didn't even recognize it. And now you're out of control. Get back to God, it's not hard.
Amen.
Hey, you know what keeps a man out of heaven is pride.
Yep.
You know what keeps a man from getting right with Jesus Christ? It's pride.
Amen.
You know what keeps a church from getting unified? Pride. Well, he said this, or she said that. Who gives a flip, man? Jesus Christ died for you.
Amen.
He's the king, amen.
Amen.
He's our king. He's the one we're supposed to be looking towards. He's the one that's worthy. For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For thou hast created all things, and all things were and are created for thy pleasure. Romans, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's impossible to please the king. It's impossible to please the king when you're walking in your flesh, brother. It's it. I know. It's easy. Man, I'll tell you, I've only been trying to live for the Lord for about 4 years. I've been saved. Grew up all my life thinking I was saved. Running around, thought I was saved. They used to call me Golden Boy. Whenever he's around, nothing bad happens. I don't even know what that's about. Maybe the Lord just had mercy on me. Maybe, you know, maybe the Lord was just having mercy on me because he had a plan for me. Maybe you won't be that lucky. Maybe you won't be that blessed. I don't know. I hate to say the word lucky because I don't believe in it. But you might not be that blessed. God might say, well, you know what? I'm fed up. Well, you know, I honestly believe the only reason why I'm standing here is because somebody's prayers. Because my mother's prayers, because Mrs. Dunham's prayers back there praying for me. Mrs. Nunn tells me on Friday or Saturday night we're going preaching. My mom used to stand up. I don't know if it's true or not. She told me she used to stand up and say, pray for my kids, especially my son Eric. I don't want him to die of a drug overdose. Maybe that's the prayer that got me through. But maybe you ain't got nobody praying for you. Maybe we need to start praying for each other. Hey, man, maybe if the king's return depended on how bad you want him to come back, would he come back?
Yeah.
Maybe how welcome he felt depended on how much welcome you made him feel.
Yep.
Maybe if he felt, well, if I feel wanted, I'll come. I'm not saying that's the way it is, but just imagine if you're mine. He'd help you.
Yep.
He'd help you out a little bit. Hey, how bad you want him to come back? You like it in this old stinking world? I don't like it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm content. And I'm happy. You know, praise God for the blessings he gave me. But Brother Ryan, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go to the other side. There is nothing in this world. It doesn't give me no peace of mind at nighttime to think that they might come busted in my door. I might be dead and gone. But my kids or my grandkids might still be here. Maybe the Lord tarries. I don't know. But it doesn't give me no peace of mind to think that maybe they're going to come in one day and try to take my Bible. Maybe they're going to come in one day and what am I going to do if they say reject Jesus Christ? I pray the Lord gives me the strength to do it. But hey, brother, I don't know if I could be martyred for it. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know if they got a gun to my little girl's head and they're going to bash her over the head with a club and beat her brains out. Am I going to be able to say, no, I'm not going to reject Jesus Christ. I'm no fool. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I can. I'd like to say that I could. I wish I could say that. But I just don't know. Only but the grace of God. Amen. Amen. So what's going to happen? Maybe he's not your king tonight. Maybe he's not your king at all. Maybe you've never anointed him as your king. Maybe you've never accepted him as your king. Maybe you've never come to a point in time in your life where you really just realize, hey, I'm my own king. The devil's got a hold on me, and you know what? Maybe I just need to go ahead and submit and surrender to God. I need a king. I need somebody to rule over me. You know why? Because I'll mess things up. Eric will mess things up. You ask my wife, she knows. She tried to fix the washer one time. Shocked myself. Almost died. I should have just went and bought another one. Twice I shocked myself, brother, on the dryer. twice. They said, why don't you fix it? I said, well, I don't know how to fix it. She said, it's already broke. You can't fix it no worse. Can't break it no worse. I said, all right, I tried. Shocked myself. She said, turn the electric off. Pull the cord out. I pulled the washing machine cord out, still working on the dryer. Shocked myself again. Hey, man, I'll mess it up, brother. I'm just telling you, I'll mess it up if you give it to me. Well, hey, by the grace of God, I can live for him. I can speak about him. Hey, the devil's out there. They're speaking for the devil. We were out there street preaching last night. Brother Alex over here, and I don't know why they always want to pick on him. I think he's a great guy. I love him. Great guy. A deaf guy's cussing him out. A deaf man. Hey, he's speaking up for his king.
Amen.
You laugh if you want. He's speaking up for his king. He's doing what he's supposed to do, folks. He's speaking up for his king. He said, hey, this is my king. Hey, this is my land. Hey, what are you doing on my turf? Jesus Christ made this earth.
Yeah.
Bible says that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof is his. He owns all the cattle on all the hills. He don't need you. He gives you opportunity.
Yeah.
You got an opportunity tonight to do something for the Lord. Look at 2 Timothy 4:10. I'm trying to get done here. I'm not nervous no more, though. Praise the Lord. I'm over it. If the bicycle crashes, that's just the way it'll be. Look at this. Start back at verse 8. Verse 7, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth was laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. Look at verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. This is Paul speaking. He's in prison. He's getting ready to go on. He says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. I ask you tonight, you love this present world? Is that what it's about, this present world? I would be willing to bet the farm, Ken's farm. I'd be willing to bet Ken's farm. That there's not really one person here that's really, truly, really wicked. I know the Bible, I get it. The Bible says we're all wicked. I get it. Heart's desperately wicked. But there's not one person here probably that's really wicked. Like wicked, wicked. You know what it is? Is that it's convenient. You're comfortable. You're carnal. I'm carnal. How do you know? I'm carnal. I like to be comfortable. I don't like going out there standing on the corner. It's cold. It's hot. I'm sweating. Hey, some lost poor dying soul is going to hell, and you might be their only hope. God might have said, that's it. I'm done with them. And somebody's praying for him. Somebody's mama's praying for him. I'm praying for my brother right now. He might be lost. Maybe on his way to hell. He's South Carolina. He refuses the Lord. He says he's an atheist. It ain't no God. I'm praying every day. God, when I go out street preaching, I'm praying, God, send a street preacher by his way.
Amen.
Send somebody to witness to him. Don't let my brother go to hell.
Amen.
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 Can you stand to see your loved ones go to hell? Can somebody else's prayers, can you imagine somebody, some mama on her knees praying, God, save my little boy. Save my little girl. And you won't even go out. You won't even pass out a tract. You won't witness for the Lord. You won't say nothing about it. You'll just let him die and go to hell when God's been so good to us. Man, he's been so good to us. That Bible said, I waited patiently upon the Lord. And he heard my cry. He inclined unto me. He pulled me up out of the miry pit, out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a solid rock. Jesus Christ, folks, set my feet upon a solid rock. Reestablished my goings. He set a new song in my mouth. The Bible said, many shall see it. Catch it. Many shall see it in fear and trust the Lord. How are they going to see it if you hide it behind a bushel? How are they going to fear if they don't hear it? The Bible said, so even faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How should they hear unless the preacher? And you know the rest of it. I messed it up a little bit. But how are they going to hear without a preacher?
Yes,
hey, it's easy to stand up here with folks that love Jesus Christ. But folks, I'm telling you, a mama can do it. Mrs. Nunn is a tribute to this church. She's a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep.
She's an encouragement to me. I'm ready to quit lots of times.
Yep.
Preacher, get up here and preach and give me a shot in the arm. All right, let's go. And I'm telling you, folks, it's discouraging sometimes.
Yep.
But the general Jesus Christ to give somebody like Mrs. Nunn the power to stand out there on a bad foot. Man, we could pass out a gospel tract at a gas pump.
Amen.
Yep. I know that every ministry is not for everybody. You got folks like Ron and Squeaky go to the nursing home. Man, they're faithful to it. That's faithfulness. They're doing something. They're speaking for the king. They're going outside these walls speaking for the king.
Yep.
Wherever you're at, speaking for the king, man.
Amen.
Why? What causes a man to do that? Sanctification. Look at Titus chapter 2. Here's what it's all about. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, That's what God has saved, the gospel of the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. Putting your faith and your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what saves souls. That's what saved you from hell.
Amen.
Not by works and righteousness which we have done. We can't do it. Can't do it. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. That's one right there is major in the Laodicean church age, man. Worldly lust. Everybody's lusting after everything. You think of the word lust, you think of a man and a woman or a woman and a man. Nah, man. You're lusting after everything you see. You want the new car. Got to get that work. Got to get more hours of work. Got to get that better job. I don't care if it takes me away from church. I don't care if it takes me away. The Bible said, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. So why aren't you in church? Why aren't you at some church? Somewhere.
Yeah.
My mama's sitting at home right now telling about my dad going to a church where they just read the King James Bible, but they preach out of Amplified. She refuses to go. She don't want to go. She's sitting at home. Hey, man, bitterness, spring up in you. You better sanctify yourself. You better set yourself apart. Hey, man, living soberly. Stop lusting after things of this world. Stay in church. Stay around the things of God. Stay in this book. Stay around the sound of preaching. How are you going to preach to yourself? I know when I'm doing examination that I think I'm pretty good. It ain't until a man gets up here and hits me with that word of God, and I say, man, I'm a dirty rat, man.
Yeah.
I need to go down to that altar. And I'm thinking, man, I don't want nobody looking at me. He just said something out here that they might think that I did that. Who cares?
Right.
You're right with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Looking for that blessed hope. He says, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing, the glorious appearing, the glorious appearing. It's a glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen.
Amen.
Zealous of good works. Amen. Hey, listen to what he said. The glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. You know what that crown is set up for? It's not set for the man sitting there going, I can't wait for the Lord to come back. I'm sick and tired of being broke. Hey, man, it's the one that's saying, Lord Jesus, come back. I can't wait to see you. I was sitting out there mowing the grass one day. And I'll use Ryan as an example. Brother Ryan and Gabby were coming. They're my friends. I love them. I've been praying for them. Brother Ryan was coming. First time I hadn't seen him since he left since youth rally. And I'm mowing the grass. I'm sitting there. I'm thinking, Lord, I said, man, I can't wait to see my friend. He had nothing to give me. There wasn't nothing. He didn't have no money for me. He didn't have no cheesesteak sandwich. Nothing. I mean, nothing. It was just the fellowship, you understand? It was a fellowship that we had. I love the brother. He's my friend. My wife and his wife are friends. Our kids play together. Brother Joe was coming over. I was excited. Hey, amen. It was a fellowship.
That's right.
That's with the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. If you're not fellowshipping with him now, you're not looking for him coming back.
That's right.
That's what it's all about. That's what makes a man sanctify himself. That's what makes you set yourself apart and sit out there in the corner. We look stupid standing on the corner with a sign on us. Amen.
Yeah.
We look like a retard. Amen.
Amen.
We look stupid.
Amen.
Standing out there in the corner with a sign. Hey, get a gospel tank. Amen. That's something that sanctifies yourself and make you want to do it.
Yeah.
Make you want to stand out there for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hey, it'll do something for you. Hey, I'm talking about it'll do more for you than it'll do for them.
Yeah.
Hey, it'll make you bold as a lion. The Bible said the wicked flee when no man pursues. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. I'm not going nowhere by the grace of God. I can't do it on my own. I got to get close to him. I need him. I love him. I'm going to speak about the king coming back. Hey, why not speak about the king coming back, folks? What's the problem? Look at this. I'll close with this. I'm going to tell you this. I ain't going to close. I lied to you. Hold on. I'm going to tell you this. Turn to Psalms 2. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen when the king comes back. I'm going to close with this. Psalms 2. Look at Psalms 2. I'm going to get my notes in here. I wrote them down. I'm going to give them to you. Psalms 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Against the Lord.
Right.
Amen. And against his anointed. Jesus Christ saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Get them out of our mind. We don't want nothing to do with them.
Right.
He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Hey, the Lord laughs at some things. You're going to laugh when your calamity comes. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king, that's Jesus Christ, upon my holy hill in Zion. Pure Zionism, folks. I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, in the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Look at this. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Hey, the Pope's trying to steal his glory, folks. Hey, look what else he's going to do. Look over there, 72:9. Psalm 72:9. We just hit a couple more of these verses. I get out of the way. Look at this. Verse 7. In his days shall the righteous flourish in abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the rivers unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. Hey, they're going to kiss his feet, folks. That's what kind of king I got. That's what kind of captain and commander I got.
Amen.
Hey, why wouldn't you want to speak about him? Why wouldn't you? You're on the winning side, folks.
Yeah.
You ain't no loser. You're on the winning side. We're going to win this battle. You read the book. You see the end of it. We're going to win. He's coming back. He's going to be king. Hey, you got your opportunity now. Bible says you'll rule and reign with him. You're going to forfeit that for a TV show? You're going to forfeit that for a baseball game or for a clam bait or whatever it is that floats your boat? You're going to forfeit it for that? Jesus Christ is coming back, folks. Hey, he's coming back. I don't know how many ways I can tell you. Look at this. Look at Luke 7, 44 and 45. Hit a couple of these scriptures. There's nothing wrong with it. Here you go. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gave me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Hey, folks, you know what the problem is that we get comfortable.
Right.
We're all guilty of it. That's what we get guilty of. We get guilty of being comfortable,
yeah.
And we don't want to get outside of our comfort zone. You know when it means the most to the Lord? Somebody like me, I don't have no problem talking to people. It's a blessing and a curse. I stick my foot in my mouth all the time.
Amen.
All the time, brother. But I'm telling you, it's a blessing as well. I can talk to people. You ask Brother Mike, he's been with me. You ask Brother Joe, I'll go in the middle of Wild Wine. I'll preach to somebody. If the mood strikes me, I feel like the Lord wants me to do it. I don't care what you think about me. Kick rocks. Up your nose with a rubber hose, pal. I don't care. Hey, Jesus Christ saved my soul.
Amen.
Amen. He saved my soul. I'm just trying to tell you. You know what I'm getting at? Is that Jesus Christ loves you.
Yeah.
And there's people dying and going to hell.
Right.
Hey, man, it's our job to speak about the King coming back. Is he your king tonight?
Amen.
That's the question. Is he your king? Is he worth serving?
Amen.
Is Jesus Christ a worthy king?
Yeah.
Are you a Bible believer?
Yeah.
That Bible says he's worthy. I quoted the scripture to you. You heard it. You've seen the end result. They're going to lick the dust up underneath his feet. That's a king, baby. That's the king.
Amen.
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 Are you willing to serve him? Are you willing to be spent and spend all for him? For his glory and his honor? Is he worth it?
Yes,
is he worth it tonight? Hey, man. Hey, you got opportunity. You got opportunity. Plenty of opportunity around here to do stuff. There's plenty of lost people everywhere.
Amen.
Everywhere. You can talk to them. If that retard across the street can cuss Alex out and can't even speak, you can walk up to somebody and give them a tract.
Amen.
Tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them how much you love. You say, well, I don't know enough scripture. Tell them what happened to you.
Yeah.
Lord will do the speaking. It's not our job to produce fruit. It's our job to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us to produce fruit. That's the tree. You don't see a tree out there producing fruit without sap. He's a true vine, amen. And we're the branches coming out of him. How are you going to produce fruit without no sap? The Holy Spirit is like the sap. You got to be clean. You have a clean vessel. Let the Holy Spirit work through you, brother. Let him allow you to produce fruit. Amen.
Amen.